1994's National Comedy Network comedy shows. And tonight we've got this one big show, and it's called A Fist of Fun.
Is it called that?
It's called A Fist of Fun,
apparently,
man.
Oh, good. Good.
I'm Stuart Lee.
I'm called Richard Herring. Thanks for having us along.
Yeah, we've been having quite a nice time here in Sir Orange Forest, but one thing that has disappointed us is the standard of graffiti in the toilet. So what in the gents? On the wall in the cubicle I was in 6-inch high letters, it said, "Suck my cock," which we thought was really pathetic, stupid thing to write. It's no name, no phone number, no address, nothing on that one.
How are we going to get in contact with you? What a waste of time! I saw a good piece of graffiti in Glasgow where we were last week. Someone had written on the wall, "I am 12 inches, do you want me?" Underneath which someone else had written, "That depends on how big your cock is." It was quite witty. There you go.
Moving away from that. Should point out at this early stage, before people become furious and disappointed, that we're not doing a regular stand-up show tonight. What we're going to be doing is a sort of a travelogue through major lifestyle issues of the 90s. We're going to be looking at major 90s things like sex, drugs, violence, and what to watch on TV during the daytime, mainly.
Mainly that, most important thing, after all. It's sort of a bit like children's show Why Don't You? But with a bit more swearing in it than they had, which I think was the only thing they needed, and to get rid of those little balls and like that. That's the only thing there's anything wrong with it. But, and it all does come, remember, from the perspective of two emotionally stunted men in their mid-20s, who've never done a decent day's work in their lives, like most of you, I suspect, and who rarely venture out of their houses for fear of missing an unscheduled episode of Going for Gold. Where it's coming from.
We've done a whole load of background research into this to make sure we're absolutely spot on with it. We've been looking at heavy literature, high art, library material, and at some stuff that we found in a plastic bag in the wood.
Wasn't much use for the show, but it's quite interesting. We've got some out the back, we'll be selling it later. And at the end of the show, there's a very exciting game show element where one of you here, one of you lucky people, is going to quite literally win
some things.
Which can't be bad, can it? Including some beer, quite a lot of beer now, and some rubbish our sponsors have given us, and some rubbish the bloke who runs this gig has given us that is really, really cacky.
Rubbish from two different sources tonight.
From two different countries.
We would like to think of this very much as your show, right? If you feel like contributing, it is for you.
It's your show.
Although it is me and Rich to get all the money for it.
Yeah,
not you.
Obviously. It's only fair, isn't it? So do feel free to join in anything you like, you know, chat anything you want, any questions. Try and make it witty and relevant if you can. Though obviously the best we are going to get is some 17-year-old rugby player shouting out about his arse. I think we should stop following us around. It's getting very tiresome.
6 weeks it's been.
6 weeks of that his arse. Got quite funny now. But anyway, so anything you want, do join in. Anything you want to ask, anything you want to say, do call it out, and we promise not to be nasty.
That's right.
So what have you been up to this week that the people here in near Cardiff in Treforest might like to try?
Is that how you pronounce it, Treforest?
Treforest.
Yeah.
Or Good. Tree Forest.
Good. Okay.
Apparently, we don't want to go on. Our Welsh pronunciation coach told us this coming up later.
We don't want to go on like trying to ingratiate ourselves with you by the clever tactic of knowing the name of where you live and then finding out that we've been pronouncing it wrong. And like actually every time we say Treforest, everyone like hates us even more. So we've said it right.
I think we got it roughly
okay.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay, good. Carry on. What have you been up to this week? They might like to try here, anyway.
Well, what I've been up to this week, I've been trying to create some false certainties in my life by organising everything that I own into alphabetical order. And a lot of people have said to me that doing that is the work of an obsessive and dysfunctional man. And these are the people that have said that. There they are. Passport photos of them. Along the top, and this map shows the location of where they live, you see?
Yeah.
And some Polaroids of their homes.
How'd you get in there to take that?
Under the cloak of night.
Well,
we're not around. What about you, Rich? What have you been up to that people might like to try?
Well, something you might like to try, something I've been doing in Cardiff today, is shoplifting. This is fantastic for three major reasons. One, you get a brilliant adrenaline rush as you're running away from the shop. Two, it's a cry for help, which can't be bad, can it? And Number three, best of all, it's a fantastic way to get free stuff.
Three things stolen from Cardiff today. So that's a child's toy rabbit.
Yeah, that works. Look at that, not bad. Yeah.
A Kinder egg.
There it is, yeah. A bit crushed.
And a guide to guest house accommodation in the south of England.
Yeah. Bit of an impulse one, that one, really. Right. But you never know, it might come in handy. Kinder eggs, though, are very good to steal. A little tip for any shoplifters. Very good to steal because they're very small. It's very easy to palm off in the palm of your hand like that. No one would know it's there. Look at that. Amazing. They could do anything. It's amazing. And plus, no shopkeeper's going to be expecting a 27-year-old man to want to steal one. So the element of surprise there, which is all important.
The element of surprise is, of course, doubled by the fact that no shopkeeper would be thinking that a 27-year-old man was collecting the crazy crocos, would he?
But I am. And yeah. I really am. And that's the brilliant thing about it. So if anyone has Marilyn Croco, it's the little girl one. It's the only one I haven't got. I've got some swaps. Anyone got it? Well, come and see me after the show if you have. Sorry, it's a bit sick, actually, because I actually quite fancy her on the picture. Just sick, because obviously she is underage. I'm a bit ashamed.
And a lizard as well.
And she is a sort of comic lizard.
Never mind. That's pathetic, though, that is. A 27-year-old grown adult 27-year-old man of your age.
What age is that?
27.
27.
Nicking kids' stuff out of shops. That's pathetic.
You don't understand what I'm doing, Stu. By stealing this, I'm satirising our society. Yeah, by breaking the law of our so-called land. I am. I'm like the modern-day Dukes of Hazzard. I'm like my hero, the controversial Kill the Police LA rapper, Ice-T. That's the kind of thing he's doing in South Central Los Angeles.
Nicking kids' toys.
Bringing down the American government.
With that?
Yeah.
Is that really?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't think so. Let's look at the facts, right? Ice-T is a lean black freedom fighter from the right-torn streets of the urban war that is South Central Los Angeles. And you're a fat, middle-class, white bloke from Cheddar in Somerset, aren't you? In fact, your dad is a headmaster called Keith, who owns his own caravan, isn't he?
Maybe, that's true, yeah. I'm not ashamed of that,
that's true.
There's Ice-T there, right? There. With a gun. And there's you with a Kinder egg, different, look. Do you think Ice-T's dad's called Keith, do you?
Might be.
Keith T.
Could be.
Do you think he's got a caravan?
Very likely.
Goes off in that on holiday.
Ice-T's probably given some of the money from his records, so he could do that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Is that your mum on the end there?
Barbara T. Deputy Headmaster, David Downs. It's very similar.
Is it?
Yeah, right. Actually, Cheddar in Somerset, where I come from, is actually a very violent place.
No.
Like South Central Los Angeles, almost identical. It is. In 1983, three mods from Weston ran amok up the gorge and threw a table at my friend Brian Bancroft in the Cantonese takeaway. I mean, if that had hit him, it could have left a nasty scar. I tell you, it would have gotten the news, everything, if it had hit him. My friends in Cheddar are the new unemployed underclass of Britain today.
Yeah, Richard, but that's because people in the West Country still think that electricity is the magic of the Wookiee Hole Witch, don't they?
Yeah, I'm clapping that in Wales. Yeah.
And it was at that point that the audience turned against.
Very clever, Stu, but with your stereotypes there. But actually, it's a fact that today in Somerset, electricity arouses only suspicion, not fear, actually. So get your facts right if you can.
Actually, before we press on, we've just got a couple of announcements from the organisers here we're obliged to deal with. If you could just bear with us on these. First up, 5 minutes. Somebody in here tonight has lost a wallet, a blue plastic wallet with a gold clip. If you find that, can you hand it in at the sound desk over there? That's a lost wallet. Can you hand it in at the sound desk? Thanks.
All right. If Neil Harris is in tonight, we've had a telegram in from the States, urgent telegram, from your cousin Mary. Apparently the blood test results are in and the child is yours, so congratulations, Neil Harris. Round of applause there. Very happy to be father for the first time here tonight.
Second up, there's a phone message in for Claire Watson. Apparently Claire, your real parents are waiting in Treforest Industrial Estate over there, and they're looking forward to meeting you for the first time tonight. They're easy to recognise. They're the ones that look like you. So get along there to Forest Industrial Estate.
Good use of local knowledge there, Steve. Very good.
A wrong turning earlier on has become a fabulous piece of material.
We'll try that the next place we go and see how it goes. Anyway, the owner of a car, C743PFJ, if you're in tonight, you've left your headlights on out in the car park. If you could go and turn them off, because an old Welsh man has become entrapped in the glare. He's bedazzled, he can't get out. So if you could just go and turn them off, he can go and get on with his way over to Forest Industrial Estate, where I believe he works.
I've got a match down this one, there's no way. I know, I can't get to Forest Industrial Estate.
There's no way. We'll try and find somewhere else.
There's a message in for anyone, this is from the university, a message in for anyone studying history. Apparently, all recorded history is wrong. There's been some kind of mistake there.
Don't know why.
So, quite a lot of catching up to do for you.
Yeah.
You've got exams.
It's not a proper degree anyway, so you can probably make it up. I did history actually, and look where it got me.
To Treforest.
So I'm swearing on stage in front of students.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, what's the first lifestyle subject we're going to be looking at tonight, Stu?
Don't you know by now?
I forgot.
After all these weeks. It's the first thing we're going to be looking at tonight is the subject of drugs.
Oh, yeah, I remember now.
Drugs. And in fact, later on, I'm going to be telling you all about how my own tragic and ultimately fatal addiction to various forms of the hardest Class A drugs has helped me to overcome my previous dependence on born-again Christianity.
Really? Stuart, it's Sunday, please. But personally, I am anti-drugs of all kinds. I think all drugs are evil. All drugs should be banned. Even drugs used in medicine to help sick little children and old people. Yeah, I think you've got to be consistent there in your views, don't you? I think drugs are pathetic, all of them. I mean, something like magic mushrooms. I happen to think ordinary mushrooms are magic enough. Especially on toast with a bit of cheese, unbeatable. Mmm. Ooh, magic, that is. Bit of garlic butter, maybe. Ooh, lovely starter to any meal.
Or a main course in itself.
Could be. Well, you need some other stuff as well.
I guess so.
But not drugs, and that's my point.
No, I think that all drugs are really good, though, across the board, whatever they are. Like magic mushrooms, right, they're magic for two reasons, okay? One, because they break down the user's perception of the so-called real world and access the kingdom of the imagination. And two, because if you spend a Sunday afternoon picking them and a Monday morning and selling them to school kids, you can make over 200 quid for a weekend's work. And that's magic, isn't it?
It is magic.
Really?
You can't
in a real sense.
You can't. You can sell them some of the porn from the bag in the woods as well.
Can't
you? Don't take any of Fiesta, Razzle, any
of
them.
You can sell them just the pants page ripped out of a catalogue for little kids.
You can get from school kids.
But what? No, yeah, it does worry me though. Like, I mean, I think for recreational use in a controlled environment, and if you know, all right. But I think it's really bad when you see people becoming addicted to or dependent on any kind of drug, I think.
God, you are so pathetic, speaking. It's not just magic mushrooms that are drugs, is it?
No.
I'm talking about the drug that we on planet Earth call extra mild silk-cut cigarettes. That is a drug there.
No,
that is. That is a drug. And it's doing you a lot of harm. If you could see your lungs outside of your body, you'd never smoke again, mate.
Well, I wouldn't be able to, would I? I wouldn't be thinking about giving up smoking. I'd be thinking, how can I get my lungs back inside to respire again?
Once more.
Processes.
Yeah, well, you have been in trouble with the police about drugs. They have stopped you, the police, haven't they?
Fucking pigs, that's what I say. Honestly, just because someone's black or has got funny hair, the police will stop you, pull you over, search you for drugs, or just because they've like watched your house for 3 weeks and you're dealing out of it. Now pull your, about your Pablo Escobar. Pull you over. I The Colombian bloke.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he the bloke who directed those films in Spanish?
No, that's Almodovar.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
Honestly, February last year, this is true, I got stopped by the police at 2 o'clock in the morning when I was driving around the Elephant and Castle roundabout in South London in my tan 1971 Morris Marina. And they searched me for drugs, and they fucked me about for about 2 hours, and I just don't know why that was. I have no idea why they did that at all.
Mm. I wonder what that could all have been about, Stu. Because, well, I've heard this story before. I think Stu may have made 3 very silly mistakes, like Ivan Ocean would have noticed back in the old days of that children's television programme that was on before any of you were born. I now realise. I think you may have made some mistakes in your dealings with the police there. I've heard this story before. What we're going to do now is we're going to recreate what happened on this night. I will play the policeman in this little skit, sketchette, what you will. You'll know I'm the policeman because I'll be wearing this sort of policeman-style hat. There, it's good, isn't it? They're very clever. There you go, so I'm the policeman now. Move along there, sir. Hello, hello, hello. Stop doing that.
That's
crime
really, really
over
good.
There. That crime is illegal. Stop it.
That's no. really good.
Yeah,
that's
thanks
really
very much.
Good.
Yeah, I worked quite hard on that, actually. I didn't go to drama school or anything. Oh, no. Just made that up myself. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Thank you. Well, actually, I copied off an old episode of Les Dennis's laughter show, but I don't think anyone would remember.
It was one of Dustin G's characters.
So it's fair game there. Okay, so we're going to recreate... They're too young for that as well. Thank God. All right, anyway, we're...
You forget, you are 98.
I am a very old... I'm 27, aren't I?
No, can't press on, losing them.
We are losing them. I'll play the policeman. I'll say exactly what the policeman said, and Stu will give his answers, his true answers he genuinely gave. When I feel he's made a mistake, I will blow on this mouth organ. For some reason, I don't know why, because we couldn't afford special effects.
It's a bit like Quantum Leap.
It is, but instead of all that... <it's>... Oh, boy. It's not quite as good, is it? But there we go. Okay, so we'll get on with it. See if you can spot the mistake Stuart Lee may have made in his dealings with the police. It'll take about 15 minutes to get into this. Hope they can remember. Fine. Anyway, here we go. Right. Would you mind stepping out of the car, please, sir?
Sure.
Is this your car, sir?
Yes.
Have you been drinking tonight, sir?
No.
Do you take drugs at all, sir?
Yes, I do.
What? Can anybody spot the mistake that Stuart Lee may have made in his dealings with the plane, please? There, anyone spot it? Anyone here would say yes if a policeman asked them if they took drugs? Anyone at all? No,
The point is, right, I'm in my mid-20s, I've got an earring, I'm driving a 1971 tan Morris Marina, I obviously take drugs, don't I, let's face it. It doesn't take a certificate from the Hendon Police Training College to work that out, I was just helping out.
The point is, you shouldn't be honest with the police. It confuses them. So, you do take drugs then, sir?
Yeah, I do, but I haven't got anything on me tonight, so there's no point searching me.
What do you think is going to happen if you tell a policeman you do take drugs, but he doesn't need to bother searching you tonight for some reason? Come on, Lee, think.
He'll reward me for my honesty.
No!
I'll say, go on, then off you go.
No!
I don't know, let me go.
He's going to have to search you now, isn't he? Obviously. So, you do take drugs then, sir?
Yes.
Some kind of a comedian, are we, sir?
Yeah, I am, officer. That's very astute of you. I'm a stand-up comedian. That is the kind of comedian that I am.
What? No, right now, what? You're being sarcastic.
I wasn't.
To a policeman. You said it in a sarcastic way. You did. There's nothing that the police hate more than sarcasm. Not even crime. Rodney King was sarcastic to the police back in the LA riots. Right? Look what happened to him. It's true. What? You don't see it on the video. He's going, you never get me. Don't see it on the video, but it happened. It did, honestly. Anyway, there we go. Right, so 2 hours later. All right then, so you better move along then. I've got better things to do than waste my time intimidating ordinary members of the public. Can't think what they are at the moment, but there must be something there. But please, Atraforest here, if anyone comes up to you here or in this lovely student union, offers to sell you drugs, please, for the police force sake, just say no. Come and buy them from us at the police force. We get a lot of stuff very cheaply, give you good deals, and if you take the really hard stuff, we'll give you the first few hits for free. There you go, that's drugs there, dealt with completely. Any questions?
No.
Okay, we get some. Fuck now, all that anti-drug rubbish. It's the end of the tour. Right, anyway, now it's time for our first natural break. Like on Anne and Nick in the morning a bit, but and let's face it, the natural breaks are the only bit that are any good on Anne and Nick, because you don't have to look at Anne and Nick for 30 seconds. But we have our own lifestyle expert with several recipes, lifestyle hints for you. He's the top lifestyle expert in Britain. Will you please welcome Mr. Peter Bainham? He's from Wales. Give him a big round of applause.
Yeah,
he's
from Cardiff.
From Cardiff.
Hang on. I'm Peter, and I've got lots of exciting lifestyle ideas and recipes and things, which I wrote with my brother Charlie, which we put in a book, which we based on Delia Smith's One Is Fun cookery book. Ours is called One Is Quite Lonely, which we think is more honest in the end, really. But don't be afraid to try these ideas. They are for absolutely everybody, but I suppose especially the young, single Cardiff man virgin. Of 31, who now lives at 61 Carminia Road in Ballin in southwest London. And Charlie, who's 37. Anyway, time for my first recipe. And this is a delicious cooling snack for the summer. And for this you need a piece of frozen chicken and a fork. What you do is take the chicken in your left hand like that, push the fork in. Chicken lollies! And that's especially delicious with a cigarette, of course, so do try that. By the way, if you can't get the fork in the chicken because it's too hard, don't worry, just thaw the chicken out, push the fork in, refreeze it, and then eat it. The only trouble with that is you might die. But what else can you do? Anyway, you might have trouble keeping stuff frozen if you've got a fridge like mine. I mean, it's not a fancy one with, like, futuristic features like power. Or a plug or anything. That's it there. It's called a natural fridge, apparently. A man sold it to me for £100. It's very nice, isn't it, that? But if you want to keep stuff frozen, the best thing to do is just take it down to the newsagents, and when he's not looking, hide it in the lolly freezer at the back. Don't worry if he catches you. If it's just a piece of frozen chicken on a fork, they tend to just sort of shake their head and let you go. And say, cunt. Of course, another really good way of keeping stuff frozen this time of year is just leave it outside overnight on the wall. Then just go and get it in the morning. If a cat's done a smell on it, just run it under the tap. That's nice, isn't it? Anyway, on with the fun. And a quick personal grooming hint next. Are your teeth all horrible and rotten and yellow like mine? Why not paint them with Tippex? I mean, your breath will still stink of Tippex as well now. But it doesn't matter, because, I mean, nobody comes near enough to smell my breath, so that's all right. I've actually got... Actually, it's funny, because friendship's a funny thing, isn't it? You know, one minute you feel you haven't got a friend in the world, and the next thing you know, you're sort of walking along the street crying. And you still haven't got any friends. Well, actually, over the years, I've sort of a couple of... What am I talking about? I'm doing a different bit to my act. I'm a twat, basically. Just remember that. Anyway, yeah, friendship's a really good thing, because I've got a really good way of making new friends, that's it. What you do is invite round to your flat somebody you already know. Say your brother Charlie. Then get so drunk you don't recognise each other. Now you can make friends all over again. I mean, your new friend will just be some sort of strange, thin, blurred man. Who spins around the room a lot. And whose lap is full of sick. Charlie, basically, anyway. But it doesn't matter, because you won't remember him in the morning anyway. Anyway, time for my next recipe, and this is a really nice one. You really like this one. You need a piece of white bread, which you stuff in your mouth like that. And put it in your mouth. Keep it in the side of your mouth like a hamster would. Then do the same with the custard cream. Then get some red jam as well. Do the same with that. And finally, have a great big sprig of sherry. Instant trifle. Like that. That's a delicious and nourishing way to get drunk on your own there. The thing is, you see, I mean, on the subject of being on my own, occasionally over the years, I have worked out a couple of ways to how to have fun on my own, because I do spend time on my own all the time. So here's a couple of ways of having fun on your own. Number one, easy time travel. Lie on the floor, close your eyes, and when you wake up, you'll have travelled into the future by a few hours. Beer helps with this. Generally, the more beer, or time travel petrol, as I call it, you drink, the further you'll have gone when you wake up. I haven't worked out a way to get back yet, so don't leave any pans boiling or anything. Number two, this is my favourite one, this is, buy a newspaper, right, and put it under your arm and go to the library with it, then sit in the bit where they have the papers, but read an atlas. Then if somebody comes up and asks you for your paper, say, actually, it's my own one. Number three. Play with your winky. Bit of stuff from my winky there. So, it's all right, I use it for salt on my chips. So it's nice. And finally, number four. Twat, remember. And finally, number four, have fun in your head with words. For example, there's a van parked on my road, and on the side of it is the word rent-a-crates. And when I see it, I imagine it says Rentacrates. And some sort of ancient Greek man lives inside the van. That's them. Took me 10 years to think of that lot. It's rubbish, isn't it? Okay, well, that's all from me for the moment. But before I go, another really good idea, which is a really good way of having an exciting holiday at home. What you do is go and get the cutlery drawer from the kitchen, right? Take out the two pence and the old chopstick and fill all the compartments with curry. Then pretend you're on a plane. By sitting with the cutlery drawer on your lap by the window, sort of eating the curry with your hands and staring out and imagining all the white-haired old men going past the clouds. Thank you.
See you later. See you later.
Pete's a kind of idiot savant from South Wales. We like to think of him as a kind of Treforest Gump figure.
Where are you going, Pete? Pete, where are you going?
Get a chair.
Ah, oh, he hasn't got a chair. Ah, oh, there's one that can have a, there's a stool down there, I see. Can he have that? There we go. Ah, oh, we give him a chair and everything. Good, isn't it? Actually, we don't pay Pete for coming here. Obviously, that would be ridiculous. But we do like to give him a can of pop for coming along. Helps go towards his rail expenses, that sort of thing.
We won't have it in the car. So we've got Pepsi Max for you today. Is that all right?
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, it slipped. Sorry.
Never mind, it should be all right still, probably. Oh dear, sorry Pete, you must have got shaken up somehow.
I needed a wash anyway.
Good, and remember, the more sympathy you show him, the more we will bully him. But, oh, you're cruel. To a fellow Welshman there. We'll save some for later, you know. Can't beat that, can you? That exploding can.
Tragic to see a bloke get drenched with a soft drink for such little laughs as well.
At least it's quite a trendy soft drink that sort of strange blokes buried in sand would drink.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, what's our next lifestyle subject we're going to be looking at?
Well, the next lifestyle subject we're going to be looking at is the subject of sex. And remember, there's nothing funny or rude or childish or embarrassing about sex, so there's no reason why here tonight we shouldn't be able to discuss it in a mature and grown-up way.
Nice!
Yeah. Oh yeah, there is a reason, isn't there? It's you, isn't it?
Yeah, I know all about sex, Jim. And I saw a bear lady once, so yes. In a magazine, but it still counts, doesn't it, mate? Hey, yeah, he's with me. But I haven't had a serious relationship partner. Yeah, Gareth. I haven't had a serious relationship. Was it? I haven't had a serious relationship partner for about 3 years now. For some reason, I can't understand it. Can you? No.
Yeah.
Really? There was a slight hint of irony in my voice.
3 years. It's weird, that, isn't it? Yeah. Right. Because mayflies, for example, right, folks. The mayfly has only 3 hours in between hatching and dying in which to find a mate, and yet they always succeed, right? So if a small, unpleasant fly can manage from a successful relationship in an eighth of a day, you'd think you could have managed it in 27 years, wouldn't you?
Yeah, very clever, Stu. But you see, I am more choosy than a fly, aren't I? I'd never try and get off with a fly for a start. Well, not unless I was really drunk, obviously. Oh, all right, I did once get off with a fly at New Year. You know what it's like, high spirits. And it was quite good, actually, because I don't know if you know this, but a gnat's chuff is literally as tight as a gnat's chuff.
Yeah, Rich, but the reason for that, right, is because a gnat's chuff is literally a gnat's chuff, isn't it? What you've done there, right, is you've misunderstood the art of simile. You've confused being like something, right, with being the same as something, with actually being the thing that it is, you see.
Yes, sorry about that, everyone wasted time there for a second, but we actually have some sex tips. If you're in a long-term relationship, things got a bit boring, we thought of some ways to spice up your relationship, and here they are. What's number one?
Yeah, number one, why not get a Mars bar, get it in a pan, melt it down into a kind of paste, right, pour it onto your lover's genitals, and then lick it off.
Seems like a bit of a waste of a perfectly good Mars bar. That one, Stu, because the thing is, right, from my point of view, Mars bars taste really nice. And genitals, well, generally they taste a bit sort of genitally, really. So although you have improved that genital taste,
yeah,
by putting some Mars bar upon it, in a paste form, the Mars bar taste itself will be impaired by the genitals you mentioned earlier on. I don't know if you remember. The way I look at it is, if Mr. Mars had wanted his Mars bars to taste of genitals, he'd have put some genitals in the recipe, wouldn't he? Like the bloke who invented scampi fries did to such such great commercial success there. Right under monosodium glutamate, men's genitals, or women's genitals for men. Two very distinct flavours of Mars bar there. Very good. We needn't stop there. You could have Twix. You could call it pricks, couldn't you? Very simple. Two fingers, girls. Not bad, eh? And, Kit Kat. Kit Twat. With up to four fingers, and I think we're now into paradise. But I could go on with these all night, obviously.
You could go on with, these all night, could you?
Yeah.
You could go on all night with substituting a swear word into the name of a popular confectionery product.
Obviously I can't.
Go on then, if you can.
Well, I can't. We've only prepared two, as you know.
If you can, if you think you're so clever.
All right, then we could have a topic and call it Top Prick, couldn't we? You could have matchmakers and call them snatchmakers there, which would be quite good. Milky Way. Don't need to change that one, do you? That one's alright as it is. Finger of Fudge, don't need to change that one either. It's crunchy. Oh, I better not do that one. I could go on all night.
What an appalling waste of time.
A waste of a degree there. This is my history degree. Got me here.
Yeah. Another thing you want to try, something me and my girlfriend encouraged me to experiment with, this is fantasy and role play. She used to like it if I dressed up in this ski mask, right? And then sort of burst into her house at night unannounced and jumped into bed with her. And that was going really well. Until she went away for a couple of days without telling me. And her granddad went to stay in her room. And things got a bit complicated, the police became involved.
You did have to finish with your girlfriend after that incident, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
But you are now going out with a granddad, there's a happy ending to the story.
That's good, because he's not afraid to experiment, which is good. He likes it.
He's deaf and dumb, he can't complain, can he? Another thing you might like to try is, they don't like the sick stuff, do they? That's for sure. No more sick stuff tonight. Maltesers, ball teasers. There we go. All right. They like more sick stuff after that. Another thing you might like to try, if you are in a serious relationship with a partner, things have got a bit boring. Why not try a bit of the old bondage? A bit of bondage there. Fans of bondage in this evening, in the strange leather wear there. And what we need here is some big ropes. Tie your lover very tightly to the bed, blindfold them, and then go out and fuck someone else. Which is interesting. Solve your problem immediately there. They might say, where were you, those 3 hours? Just say, well, I went downstairs to make a cup of tea. The phone rang, something good on telly. Yeah, completely. Oh, a bit tired.
Last thing you might want to try if you are very much in love with the person you're sleeping with is, why not try urinating over them? Two good reasons for this, the University of Midlothian. First up, you might find you get a bit of a kinky, perverted sort of sexual thrill out of it. And secondly, of course, the scent will help to mark them out as yours.
It does sting the eyes, though, so I expect.
There's a downside, though, which you must
point out. Don't laugh while you're drinking beer, it goes like that. Okay, a little tip. That's a little tip.
There's a downside to all this talk of cheap sex, and that's the very real risk of catching a sexually transmitted disease.
And you would know all about that, wouldn't you, Stu? You having a sexually transmitted disease all of your own. Remember, you showed me in the swimming baths, you must remember.
Right.
You scared that old woman in the shallow end, remember? You have genital warts, don't you, Stu? Huge warts all over your genitals. In fact, not so much a strange lump on your penis, as a strange penis on your lump, in fact. At the clinic, they call him Stu Warty Lee.
Yeah.
It's a bit insensitive, but they have a laugh about
Rich, it. At least at some point in my life, I have had the opportunity to catch a sexually transmitted disease off a woman, haven't I? Unlike you, right?
Yes, you're very glad, don't even know it's a scientific fact that some sexually transmitted diseases can be passed from animals to humans. not that I've had the opportunity of that.
What point are you making there?
Well, my point is that I thought it would go well because you're in Wales. That certainly wasn't a cheap shot, was it?
Oh dear.
Oh, what a sad life it's become.
And remember,
I just did that to annoy Steve because he doesn't like cheap jokes. And it's the last one. This is our last gig ever after that. Hey! On this particular tour.
Remember though, you can't tell just by looking at someone whether they have a sexually transmitted disease.
But huge warts all over the anus and sores over the genitals usually is a good clue. So look out for that one. If you see that, I don't know, wrap some sellotape around your genitals, should be okay. Apparently. So that's good sense of advice of the old sexual transmission.
And that's sex dealt with there.
Split the audience there with the cackling women liking it and everyone else being very upset and offended. But still, never mind. What's the next subject we're going to look at, Stu?
Drinking?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, right. Drinking.
Really? Drinking?
Yeah. Same people as like the sex, I believe. So the two go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand.
Drinking. In fact, in January of last year, I didn't eat any solid food for 10 days. Then I stayed up all night at the weekend, drank 6 pints of lager, half a bottle of gin, half a bottle of whiskey, smoked 4 packs of cigarettes, took a tab of acid, and then drove 400 miles off my face from London to Avery in Wiltshire and back. Then I had to check myself into the casualty department of a tooting St. George's Hospital with a suspected heart attack. Now, you might call that a stupid and irresponsible way to behave, but I call it a fucking good Friday night out.
We agreed on this. We love drinking. We think drinking's great. We're trying to encourage it as much as we can wherever we go. And we're fed up with the back teeth. All these celebrities coming out with these anti-drinking campaigns, warning you the dangers of drink when they're all coked up to the eyeballs anyway, all the time. So we've managed to come up with 6 reasons. Oh yes, 6. Why drinking a lot is better than not drinking anything. We only got to 6 because we were a bit pissed when we wrote this. So anyway, number 1. Even today, in futuristic 1994, drinking a lot is still the best way to get pissed.
Number 2, drinking to excess gives you an enhanced sense of confidence in a fight situation.
Comes in handy at a lot of these student gigs. Number 3, drink as much as you can, then recycle the bottle and cans. And you're helping the environment there, you see, unlike your moderate drinker friends.
Number 4, some beer cans have competitions on them.
Yeah. I think that's good.
The
more you drink, the more chance you have of winning. There you go. Number five, this is for boys. If there are any boys here, under the age of 18, you know, boys. Get a girl drunk, and you increase the chances of her getting off with you.
Yeah.
Girls, you probably don't really need to bother with the alcohol on that one. Most boys are probably going to try and get off with you anyway. If they don't, they're probably so drunk they haven't even realised you're a girl, in my experience.
Number six, drinking to excess regularly makes us witty and interesting. It makes us more attractive. It improves sexual performance. And its ultimately fatal effects lend a drinker's life a mock heroic aspect of doomed beauty.
A little poetic one to end on there, lovely. I had a pint actually here from my bottle stuff, because I had a pint from the bar there earlier, I don't know what it was. It was horrible, it tasted like a pint of gnat's piss.
What did it taste like, Rich?
A pint of gnat's piss stew.
How do you know that, Ellen?
Well, obviously, see, when you are in a serious relationship with a gnat, things have maybe got a bit boring. So the gnat will suggest tying you up and urinating over your face. And inevitably, when that happens, a little bit of it is bound, of the gnat piss, is bound to splash into your mouth, a few droplets, giving you an idea of what gnat piss would taste like. That's how.
Yeah, but you said a pint, Rich. That would take a lot of gnats, wouldn't it? A sort of gnat orgy, in fact.
Well, obviously the pint bit, that's just a figure of speech, isn't it? Obviously.
Right, but the gnat's piss part isn't.
No, it's not like I'm the kind of bloke who would build a huge ecosphere in my lounge at the exact tropical temperature at which gnats would thrive, then farm and breed the gnats and invent some little device that could milk the urine from their tiny bladders along a series of pipes and tubes into a huge vat in my bathroom with a sort of tap arrangement by which I can pour myself off a pint of the gnat's piss at any time of day or night for my own consumption, is it? Really? You know.
You're saying you're not the sort of bloke that would do that?
No.
You've thought it all through though, haven't you? In the way that I think only someone who was the sort of bloke that would do that would bother to plan it out.
No, it was just off the top of my head. Have you got any tips about drinking, Pete? Drinking tips?
Yeah, you know if you're too scared to go in pubs? Because there's loads of men with, like, big spiders tattooed on their faces and things. There are where I live. Well, if you are too scared to go in pubs, the best thing to do is just go to an off-licence, buy a few cans, and drink them in there. Sort of lean by the counter by the nuts. I think the man in my off-licence likes me, because he keeps going to the back and laughing his head off.
Thanks, Pete. It's pretty good.
Well, last thing we're going to be looking at before we... Try scum, man. And the last thing we're going to be looking at before we take a break is religion, right? Now, I'm sex, drugs, drinking and religion all applauded over there. It's good that you have such a liberal outlook on the world, on that table. I'm myself very liberal about religions. I think that all major world religions are equal in as much as, metaphorically speaking, they all suck a big dog's cock.
I think I'm possibly a bit more liberal than that. I was brought up as a Christian, but recently I have, in my 27 years of age, become, you know, a bit dubious about some of it. I begin to doubt my faith, because if I was an all-powerful, omnipresent God, I wouldn't waste my time making a universe full of stupid people to judge, and then reward the most smug and stupid people for believing in me when I obviously don't exist. No. What I would make in my universe is a huge cheese toasty sandwich, massive, bigger than this room, bigger than the universe, everything. With pickle, why not? I'm God, I can do what I want. Then I would stay in bed all day, making my own amusement, if you know what I mean there, Forrest. I mean, I would be wanking there, in case anyone wasn't quite sure. You'd have to be careful, obviously. I'd probably invent some law of physics which would stop them getting mixed up in any way, because that would be nasty.
So, what you're saying, right, is if you were God, right, all there'd be in your universe, all you'd create, right, is a Breville sandwich toaster.
A really big one.
No. Some bread and cheese.
Yeah. And pickles, I mentioned.
A law of physics.
That law of spunk cheese.
Yeah.
But cheese and spunk is a bit confusing.
Right, a law of physics. And a piece of old rag.
Yeah. To mop up any of the pickle that's spilled, because that wasn't included in the law there. Oh, could I have a laundrette? Then I wouldn't need that. If I had a laundrette, then I'd need like a woman to operate it. Top cotton.
Well, you can
see. And some 50p's as well.
You can see how...
You'd like nasty Nick as well, you'd need to be a son and to annoy
him. That's where it gets complicated. You can see how God might have had like a really simple plan, first of all.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh no, I'll just put one extra thing in.
Because you need that, and then I see how it happens. I take it all back, because, you know, they wouldn't want to eat just cheese toasted, would they?
No.
Cotton and nasty Nick.
No, probably not.
And they'd have, like, there'd be other people, they'd want, I don't know, they want an apple or something, wouldn't they?
And once you bring an apple into it, that's when the trouble really starts. You know?
Oh, sure.
But on about the creation myth, though, I don't really understand how that works, right? Because Christians say the universe took 6 days to create. Science says 15 billion years. How does that add up?
Well, 6 days, 15 billion years. What's the difference, really, you know?
Well, the difference is 14,999,999,999 years, or 359 days. That is the difference. Or 360 days if it was a leap year that year.
Well, you're just splitting hairs, aren't you, Stu? When a Christian says day, what they actually mean is a length of time.
Well, it must be very difficult arranging to meet them.
It's quite difficult, but then you wouldn't want to, would you?
No,
so, sort of that way. And just the one table enjoying this.
One thing we've been doing as we travel around, we picked up this leaflet from De Montfort University Christian Union, right? At the top here, in big letters, it says, "If Jesus is the answer, then what is the question?" And looking through the small print at the bottom here, we saw the question was, whose birthday do we celebrate on the 25th of December? And that's Jesus there, that's the answer. And the question is, whose birthday is the 25th of December? And that's explained in that part there. Could have had any number of questions. Of course, they could have had, for which role was Robert Powell nominated for an Oscar? That's Jesus again then.
Complete the following band title, the Blank and Mary Chain.
Yeah.
Would have worked.
Blank Joan.
The good thing about doing this, we do a lot of this small-minded anti-religious material on the radio, and the good thing is we get a lot of letters complaining about it, which we can then read out on stage, and it saves us having to write anything.
Which is good, yeah.
Here's some of the letters we've had. Now, number one we've had from Mr. This is a real letter. Here it is. From Mr. Giles Bradley. Sounds like a fun guy already, doesn't he? He lives at flat 2, 4 Northlands Road, Southampton, SO12LF. If you want to write to him with some of your opinions. He wrote to say, "Do you not realise that Jesus Christ is a figure worshipped as God by several million people in this country?" And the thing is, we hadn't realised, so we couldn't be touched legally on that
it's
one.
It's good to get a rough idea of the figures, though. This next one was from Mrs. Jill M. Bentall, and she lives at Old Farm Cottage 102, Charlton Way, Andover in Hampshire. She wrote to us to say, "Your act betrays a woeful ignorance of true Christian belief. I wonder if you dare to broadcast something in the same vein, but targeting a travesty of the Islamic faith." And we wrote back to Mrs. Bentall and we said, well, no, we wouldn't. Might be atheists, but we're not stupid.
So, do you believe in Jesus Christ as a God
figure? No, not as such, no. What I think probably happened, right, around the time of the Jews is there might have been a bloke, maybe called Jesus, possibly, could have been called that, who went around doing, like, charitable, altruistic things, like Annika Rice, something like that. Right, but because of the superstitious sort of backward thought of the time, what he was doing became exaggerated into like myth, and he became viewed as a son of God figure. That's what I think probably happened back then.
I don't agree with that on the street. It's an interesting and highly original theory. I've never heard anything like it in my life before. But I don't agree with you, because my mum brought me up to believe that Jesus is real, literally, and that he's everywhere, all the time, everywhere we go. No, this is what I believe. He's everywhere. He's at my house. He's at your house, he's here tonight, he's at the Midglamorgan University Dungeons and Dragons Society, he's everywhere.
He's on his own there.
On his own there, but he wouldn't want to be with anyone else from there.
That isn't true. It really annoys me the way you get indoctrinated into these beliefs as kids, right? There is no Jesus. There isn't a Jesus, right?
Well, I think
there isn't, right? And the only way we're going to survive into the 21st century is if we abandon these old-fashioned religious beliefs and start to say, no, there isn't a
Jesus, he's here, he's here tonight, he is.
Exist,
he's behind you.
He isn't
there. Tell him, everyone!
Yeah.
No, he isn't.
It doesn't exist. I've been over it before, right? It doesn't exist. And, you know, there's no evidence for it, right? And we have to construct it.
He's blessing the lambs on the tight on the mountain there. Look at his holy but right, baleful eyes, Stuart. Right. Look, just look.
Right,
he's there, right. Jesus Christ.
Okay, if he's real, like
he is
you say,
real.
Turn around, I'm going to see. Okay, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to look for Jesus now.
Oh,
not there, you see.
He just nipped out. He was there, wasn't he, everyone?
Yes!
Oh, no, he wasn't.
Yes, he was!
Right, look, I'm in the National Secular Society, right? We try and get religion removed from school curriculum.
He was there!
Because we know that there is
Stu,
no such thing.
Stu, it's Jesus, he's back again! He's on the road to Calvary, if only someone would take his burden from him.
It's not there.
He's going up on the cross, tell him everyone! He's going up on the cross. Oh yes! Tell him everyone!
You'll have to speak up, I'm very old.
Alright,
if he's there.
He is there!
Okay, if he's there, I'll look.
Stop giving him a cue.
Every day you give him a cue, you'd see him. I'm going to turn round and I'm going to look for Jesus.
Yeah. Now! You must have seen him there. He was standing by that door. Clearly, he didn't get out in time. He was there. Turn that bloke. Yeah. Clear as the day.
I saw like an old woman's dress flapping.
No, that's what it was. That was Jesus' holy raiment.
Right,
that
look.
Was.
Take a look.
That was all, the Turin
all,
shroud. You
all
saw.
Major world conflicts takes Beirut, Northern Ireland. That's cool.
He's taking the piss, Jesus, he's putting cocks in your mouth and everything.
Right.
Just look down.
Say,
oh, he's coming, you Stu. Jesus is coming.
Oh!
It's not right. It's Jesus' is holy ass.
Right. It doesn't exist. And if he did, right, it wouldn't matter. It'd still be best.
He's gonna get you. Just look round.
Look, I've gone over it before.
Jesus,
you're real. You're real.
Jesus.
You're real.
Jesus.
Not very tall, but real.
They wouldn't be. They were small in those days.
Yes. They are right.
Jesus.
You are real.
Jesus.
No.
Peter Bainham.
What's the meaning of
What's going on?
I'm not Jesus. I'm one of his helpers.
His helpers, Pete.
Yes, it's what with the busy run-up to Christmas and everything, you see. It's nearly Christmas, he has to have helpers, you see. You know, he can't be omnipresent all the time, you see. He's very busy with all the things he has to do and everything. So just to say, everybody, that if you do see two Jesuses in a Christmas parade or in a department store, don't worry, that's not Jesus, that's just one of his helpers, but he does exist.
Pete.
Yes?
I like what you're trying to do with the dressing up and everything. Running around. But,
bumming and stuff.
You've made a mistake, you see.
Yeah, the pants.
What you've done.
That was good.
You've made a mistake. You've confused Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
With Father Christmas, haven't you? Mixed
them up. Father Christmas beard there.
That's an old woman's dress you've got.
Yes, as you said. I don't know how we can see it.
I wouldn't wear that.
You wouldn't wear that. Yes, sorry.
is that it? Sorry. Is that all we get?
I am sorry. I got some presents as well.
It's hardly myrrh, is it? That it's not very good. Well, give him a round of applause anyway. He tried hard. Anyway, that is the end of our first half. Go away, have a drink for about 10 minutes, and we'll come back and do some more stuff. All right, see you
then. Thank you. Bye.